So we are holding on Chof Beis on the days. Amar Rav Loshanu, eight lines from the top. Nine lines from the top. Eight lines, yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah. You all here. We'll wait another second.
Let's get waiting.
Hey,
y'all don't want to rock
themselves. I hope someone gets thrown out
of the yeshiva. And actually, I hope somebody does, because I hope that we get that far. You'll see. All right, so we are holding on Chof Beis, Amud Beis, eight lines from the top. So we started talking yesterday about where the Mishnah had said that if you have a wall that if you have a wall near somebody else's wall, you have to keep it at least 4 amos away. And we started discussing yesterday what that means exactly. Does that mean you already had one wall within 4 amos, and now if you're going to make another wall parallel to it, it has to be 4 amos away? Or is it we're talking about walls that are at right angles to each other or whatever? The bottom line is, we said the Gemara had said the reason behind this concept of 4 amos is because you want people to be able to trample down the dirt, to be able to walk on the dirt between the wall, and thus to strengthen their foundation.
Right.
Yeah. There is a bit of discussion among the Meforshim what the underlying principle over here is. So far in the Perek we've been talking about the concept of Archokas Nezakin. When you have something, you're putting something too close to the other person's property, that's actually causing them damage, directly or indirectly. Here, it's not really, if you put the wall closer than 4 amos, not necessarily, some of the Meforshim take the view, it's not necessarily you're directly causing the guy hazard. At most, what you're doing is an indirect thing. You're making it, you're preventing that davsha, you're preventing that trampling from taking place.
Hezek doesn't necessarily direct
it. No, but the point is, in other words, there's a difference between, for example, when we talk about digging a burr next to somebody else's burr, where the wall of his burr got weakened, or the various other cases that we had so far, having a bakery underneath his oitzer or whatever, versus over here where it's a less direct thing. You're preventing the davsha from taking place, which is a whole different thing than causing something, doing something that directly or indirectly is going to cause damage.
Still named Hezek.
So that's some Meforshim take the view that it is still called a type of Hezek. It's still a Chokas Nezak, and you're still liable, you're still required to move it 4 amos away for the sake of avoiding causing the other guy Nezek, because the lack of Davsha is eventually going to be a Hezek. Others take the view it's not really so much that, it's more a matter of there may be particular reasons why he's entitled to that 4 amos, such as we said yesterday, for example, he originally bought the land from the king or whatever, and therefore became entitled to the 4 amos at the time. So, Amar Rav, Loishanu ala Koso Gina. This that we're talking about, that you need, that if you're going to build another wall parallel or whatever it is, that it needs to be at least 4 amos away, is only talking about, for example, if it's the wall of a garden, where the point is you have one side of it as a garden, nobody's going to be stepping around in there. You only have one side, hello, where there's going to be where the ground is going to be trampled on.
What?
If there's a garden over here and then a wall, there's only going to be one side where trampling can take place. That's where we're saying that you need to have your wall 4 amos away or more in order to make that trampling, in order to make that davsha possible. But on the other hand, let's say it's the wall of a chotzer, where both sides get used, where both sides get trampled on, get stepped on. Then Rav says, fine, if you want to make your wall closer than 4 amos, go right ahead. So there won't be able to be davsha from the one side, there'll be davsha from the other side. Again, if this is the dividing line between the chaseiros, and there's a wall over here, what Rav is saying is, I, the neighbor over here, am not required to make my wall 4 amos away. I can make my wall as close as I want. There's not going to be davsha on this side. So what? There'll be davsha on this side. The other guy will walk around in his chaser, and that'll still help.
If you have one davsha only on one side, can that damage actually the wall?
No, because then by a kosher dinner, you wouldn't want davsha, right? Because like there's nobody stepping around on the other
actually,
side.
That's what I would think intuitively.
But I guess
if
not.
If it's uneven, it might damage.
That's right.
But I guess not, apparently.
But it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah, but apparently it's exactly the opposite.
What seems to be intuitive.
I don't know. Incidentally, by the way, Tosfos points out that there is that, what about a house? What about if it's a wall of a house? Then we would say we treat it more like a garden. first of all, you have things near the walls, you have furniture and whatever, so therefore not necessarily have people walking around on the dirt floor inside the house right near the walls. Second of all, you don't have as many people walking around inside a house as you would inside a chatzah. Okay. Regardless whether it's the wall of a garden or the wall of a chaser, either way, you still have to keep it 4 amos apart. However, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina says they're not actually arguing, Rav and Rav Oshia. Because one is talking about a new city where the ground has not really been compacted down yet, and the other is talking about an old city. So therefore, the ground's already been pretty well compacted down, and people walking around, that is not really going to make much of a difference.
Do you remember who wanted credit for bringing all the braces of Rav Oshia?
That was Rava, I think it was, said that I regularly explain Rava, yeah, that Rava. I regularly explain Mishnayos, according to Rav Oshia, yeah. Okay.
Such a good memory.
Not always, but thank you. Okay. What's considered an old city for this purpose? So that I'm not...
Always good memory?
That I'm not... Okay, what's considered an old city for this purpose? That I'm not right 50 years. However, most of the Noitzei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch, including the Shach and the Taz and everyone else, says that actually that's a mistake and it should be 60. On the basis of a Gemara in Ksubas that says that once a place is 60 years old, then it's considered old for other purposes in Halacha. So by the same token over here, on the other hand, the Rashba says maybe not. Maybe there's no fixed amount over here. However long, the local Shivat Tuveir, whatever, the Rav of the city, has to evaluate the local conditions and see how long it takes for the ground to be sufficiently tamped down. All right. So we have this basic concept that we started discussing yesterday, which Rava had said, and then we just and we just had this modification about it, that what kind of walls it applies to. This concept of davsha, this concept that you want to have space around your wall for people to be able to walk by and compact down the earth as they walk. So now let's look at our Mishnah and see whether we can make it fit with that. The Mishnah says, "Hachaloinus." When it comes to windows, ben milamaylan, ben milamatan, ben mikenegdan abamus. We said if somebody else is building a wall above the height of the window, or below it, or opposite it, there always has to be 4 amos space. V'taniyala, and we learn in a brice on it. What it means is milamaylan kadeshala yotzvira. If the guy is building his wall higher than your window, then he has to make it at least 4 amos taller than the top edge of the window, in order that he can't stand on the window and bend down and peek in and see, because an average person is 4 amos tall. Milamata and shalayamid v'yira, you want it to be, if the wall is lower than the window, you want it to be at least 4 amos below the window sill, same idea, so you can stand on top of the window and peek in.
6 feet?
Yeah. If he's building the wall opposite the window, then it has to be at least 4 amos away so it doesn't darken the window, so it doesn't completely block the light. Now, the implication is, time of Shalayafa, why are we saying, so again, you have a wall over here with a window in it. We're saying the other guy is building a wall parallel to it, well, on the face of it, we're talking parallel to it, and you're saying you have to keep it at least 4 amos away, Kadesh Shalayafa. The implication is, why does he have to keep it away 4 amos? Only because there's a window there and you don't want him to block the light. Avam Mishum Dav Shaloy. It seems that Davsha is not really a factor over here. Now, according to Rava, why not? The answer is, Hachav Mayaskin, Mabaminat Sab. No, because you know what the Braisa could be talking about is a case where the wall is coming from the side, which means
not
so
parallel.
Right. Rashi says it means it's at right angles. In other words, so you have here's the wall that has the window in it. Here's the wall that the other guy is building.
Straight angle.
Okay. So according to Rashi, it seems it wouldn't really matter what angle. Well, I mean, I guess if it's an angle like this and it's mostly blocking the window, you'd still have the same issue. Yeah. But let's say, for example, a right angle. So it's a right angle. The edge of the wall is in front of the window. So the issue of davsha isn't really there, because Rashi explains. So fine, you'll have that little bit of the wall people won't walk by. But fine, they'll walk along the rest of it.
Which will be
the original wall, the one with the window. So fine, you have a wall coming in like this. Let's say fine, people won't want to squeeze through this narrow space over here. But fine, people will still walk over here. People will still walk over here. Okay, so the middle foot or two of the house won't have dodge. A big deal. So therefore, that's not the issue. But therefore, the only issue is Hezekriah, which is why the wall Hezekriah, and therefore the wall has to be taller or shorter, 4 amos than the window, as well as you have the problem Kadesh al Yasso, and in this case, since it's edge on to the window, there's no real Yasso.
The
light shouldn't be blocked. So then 4 amos away is enough.
What?
Right. Well, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about in a minute when there are walls on both sides of the window. Yeah. The Ritva has a problem with this explanation because he says, what's the logic? Why would anybody bother walking by over here if they're going to get cut off in the middle over here? And nobody's going to walk by here or by here on the two sides of the wall either. So he has a different explanation that the Bavan Asad means over here. It means that you have the new wall kind of at an angle to the old one. So therefore, it's not so much
what's the difference?
The difference is that you still have this Davsha over here. You still have that up until that point, and even like this, so people start going off on an angle like this along the new wall. Fine, they're still within 4 amas. They're still close enough to the old wall. There's still Davsha over there.
One side, not on the other.
Yeah, on the other, but that's good enough. Yeah. So that would be what the mission is talking about. It doesn't contradict Rava's point that when Davsha is an issue, that you have to have the wall 4 amas away for that reason alone. The Kama. Okay, so then the question is, the Mishnah had said, in that case, then the Braisa, rather, is specifying that the new wall has to be far away enough, Shalo Yafil, that he shouldn't darken it. So how far away does it have to be exactly? If they're parallel, then okay, we understand 4 amas. It has to be 4 amas anyway because of Davsha. But if it's at a right angle, it doesn't necessarily have to be 4 amas away for that purpose. How far away does it have to be?
You mean inclined?
Yeah. Amr Yeva Chamur de Ashin ban Nidbach Meshmeder Rav. So Yeva, the father-in-law of Ashin ban Nidbach, said in the name of Rav, the amount is Kim Loi Roichav Chaloy. It has the width of the window. I'm misunderstanding it a little bit. We're not talking about, in other words, what we're saying is like this. You have the wall, the new wall is being built. If it was going to be right in front of the window, that would be a problem, unless it's 4 amas away. If you want to get it closer to four amas to the other guy's wall, of necessity, you're going to have to move it away to one side of the window or to the other. How far away do you have to move it? How far away do you have to move it to one side of the window or the other? And the answer is kimloy roichav chaloyin, the width of a window. Some of the Rishonim say that means, in other words, it doesn't matter how wide the actual window is. Right. I mean, according to some Rishonim, it means the minimum size that can be considered a window, like we learned the other day in connection with a window with Tosafot Tumah V'Tahara is a tefach, therefore a tefach. Other Mepharshim say, if the window is over here, and the other guy is building a wall, he wanted to build it edge on. We're telling him no. You have to move it away at least a tefach to one side or the other of the window.
What about if there's 6 windows?
Then it has to be a tefach away from each one. I guess I don't know. You don't usually have windows that close together.
The size of the window has to be how much?
In other words, you have to have the window is over here. There has to be at least a tefach left of wall before the other wall comes and meets up with it.
No matter how big the window.
No matter how big. There are other Rishonim who say that actually depends on the size of the window.
Oh, okay. Serious. When there are several windows.
If there are several windows, then they need to work out something together. I don't know. Okay, the question is, how do you make this? Okay, but don't you have the problem then? That's fine. So the wall is not going to be blocking the window's light, but it's still right near the window. Won't you be able to stand on the wall and peek in through the window? The answer is, Omer Zvid b'madiras koisla. Yes, but you have to be talking about that. What he does is he takes the end of his wall and he makes it on an angle. So that way it's angled, so that way it's not something that you can stand on.
What do you mean?
If the window is over here, you have the window is okay. The window is over here.
Right.
This is the window over here. We're saying that he's building his wall over here.
Right.
So what do you do? He has to make the end of his wall. Besides that, he makes his wall taller or shorter than 4 amas than the window. He also has to make the end of it, which is going to be too close to the window. He has to make it slanted, so that he can't stand on that part close to the window
and be able
to peek in.
Yeah.
Slanted like that.
Right. The top of the wall.
What? He could make nails, I guess. That would be another
problem. The top of the wall?
Yeah, the top of the wall.
Yeah, but he can also take them out.
Yeah. And there's other explanations.
If you put in nails,
you could take them out. Yeah, it's true. But there's different other explanations of what madir means. For example, Rimi Gash says it means like he makes the top of the wall concave like this. So it's also not something that you can conveniently stand on. Okay.
Why did the other guy put a blind? I mean, why are we supposed to...
Very nice, but the person wants to open their blind sometimes.
So he's not going to peep 24 hours.
People can be doing private things in their house whenever they want. You can't necessarily expect that the guy is going to have blinds all the time. Okay.
He could be a sadik nister.
Yeah,
okay.
You need
to see that he's learning Kabbalah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, onward. No. Okay. Okay. the question is, what about the our Mishnah said it has to be 4 amos away,
right,
implying not just a tefa? The answer is like Kasha, can miruach achas, can mishtei ruchas. There's a difference whether you have one wall next to one side of the window or whether you have two walls on the two sides. So again, if this is the window over here, if the other guy wants to build one wall over here and one wall over here, then it's not good enough to just say the width. Then it's not just good enough to say a tefa. Then you need 4 amos. And again, different Rishonim argue what that means exactly. Does it mean you need 4 amos on each side of the window? Does it mean the total amount has to be 4 amos?
No.
Or maybe does it mean the width of the window plus 4 amos? But it's also, we're saying now, there's another meaning of it also. That's a different case. We're saying over here, if you're building, if he's building two, since we're explaining that the Braisa is talking about a case where he's building the walls at right angles, so Davsha is not an issue, only... So what we're saying is, he has to have, between this wall and this wall, is going to be 4 amos, according to the various definitions of what we mean by 4 amos of that. Because otherwise, if you only have one wall over here, fine. Let's say when the sun is over here, it'll block it. When the sun is over here, it won't. But if you have walls on both sides, it's going to block it a lot more, therefore you need a much wider area. Okay. Tashma. Okay. Come, let's try to still prove about this business of Dabsha based on the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah says, "There's a koisel min amaschila dalat amos." A person,
we
don't have yet. Wait, "There's a koisel min amaschila dalat amos." We say that one person has to keep his wall at least 4 amos away from the other person's gutter that goes around the roof of his house. Kadesh yeh zokef es hastulam, so that the other person, the one who owns the house with the gutter, will have the ability to put up a ladder to be able to go and clear out his gutter when it gets leaves or whatever in it. Now again, time of Mishum Sulam. Again, the implication is only the reason why you need that 4 amos space between the house and the other guy's wall is because of there needs to be room for a ladder. Al Mishum Dabsha Lai. It sounds like Dabsha is not an issue. According to Rava, it should be saying you need 4 amos regardless. The answer is Hachav Mayaskin and Maschilim Mishupas. Yes, but you know the Mishnah could be talking about a case where the roof is a slanted roof. And the gutter is past that slant. So you have here's the wall of the house. Then you have the eaves of the house go beyond that, and then you have the maschila over here. So you might have, let's say, it sticks out another amma past the wall. If it were just for the fact of davsha, you have from the wall until the next wall is 4 ammas, and that's good enough. The problem is the maschila is over here. You need 4 ammas horizontally to be able to put up a ladder to be able to climb that height without the ladder falling over. You need 4 amos of horizontal space on the ground to be able to put up a ladder so that it'll be at an angle that you can comfortably go up and down. Now a person is going to have to go.
This is the roof and this is the gutter.
This is the roof. This is the roof and here's the there's a diagram here. Yeah. There's the wall of the house. There's the wall of the house. There's the roof that goes beyond it that forms an eave and the gutter on the end of it. Now, if it was just a matter of davsha, all you need is 4 amos from the wall of the house till the other guy's wall. But because you have the issue of having to put up a ladder, and let's say 3 amos would not be enough to put up a ladder because it'd be too vertical to be able to climb up and down, then therefore you need 4 amos for the ladder alone, plus whatever the eaves stick out from the house.
If there's a ladder...
There's not a permanent ladder. We're talking about whenever you need to clear out your gutter, you're going to need to put a ladder there. You need to bring a ladder there. Which leads to the question, by the way, Tosfos asks. Tosfos explains, I mean, why is the other guy obligated to give you 4 amos to put up your ladder? So Tosfos explains, let's say, for example, we're talking about that it was agreed when he first sold him the property
that he's going to have to move the wall further away.
Yeah, so the question is, on the face of it, why? Why shouldn't he be able to say, what gives you the right to put... Yeah, what gives you the right to put up a ladder in my property anyway? So Tosfos says we have to be talking about where he sold him the rights to do that to begin with.
I think he would mind.
No, there's different other answers as well. One of them being, I think, from the Rimigash, that since the guy already has the ability and the chazaka to have a gutter on his roof, which is going to drain water off his roof, of necessity that comes with, automatically it's implied that that includes the ability to put up a ladder even if it's in the other guy's property, because it's an understood thing. When a person has a gutter, he's going to need to go up sometimes to clear it out. All right.
You could put the ladder on the other side of the roof.
But let's say the gutter is only on this side.
The gutter may be all over, whatever.
When it gets stuck over here, when it gets clogged up over here, you're going to need to go up over here and clear it out.
I mean, the ladder has to be on the side where it's clocked. You could put the ladder on each side.
That's dangerous.
No, so it's always dangerous that the final ladder is not dangerous.
And how strong is the roof?
It could go on the other side of the roof.
It's a good point, though. It may be that the roof itself is not strong enough. I don't know.
Last time I was on the roof,
yeah,
okay. I almost fell down.
Right.
That was over 10 years ago.
Okay, onward. Okay. So, we have to be talking about a gutter which is on a slanted roof. The imishum davsha, who now, who is just a matter of davsha haka alzava alti tuse, part of that space where the eaves are sticking out and the gutter is sticking out could be used towards the davsha. Therefore, you wouldn't need full amas for that. But because of the issue of the ladder, therefore, you need full amas for that alone. So it still doesn't contradict Rava. The bottom line is we don't have anything that contradicts Rava, and indeed the halacha is like him, that dapsha is an important thing, and you need to make sure that your wall is situated appropriately to allow for that. Again, unless, like we said before, unless it's an Ir Yashana, unless it's an old city where the ground has already been tamped down enough, and then it's not necessary.
50 years you have to.
So 50 or 650 according to the printed text of the Ramah, 60 according to the other Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, and according to the Rashba, whatever the local Dayanim see fit. Mishnah says, you have to keep away. If one person has a birdhouse in his chotzer, and the other person is putting up a ladder nearby in his chotzer, you have to keep it away at least 4 amas, the ladder, keep it away at least 4 amas from the birdhouse, kadesh le'tikva tanamiya. So that anamiya, which is a creature in English, it's called a marten, it's like a kind of wildcat, can't jump using the ladder and go kill the bird.
Yeah.
That's a koisel min amaschila dalat amos. Also, which we just learned, you have to keep away your wall from the other guy's gutter for amos. Kadesh yehezeka v'sasolam, so that he can put up maschila
is a gutter.
Yeah, kadesh yehezeka v'sasolam, so that the other guy will have the ability to put up a ladder and clear out his gutter when necessary. Now, we talked about at the beginning of the Perek, and we're going to have the details of it later on in the Perek. We said that Rabbi Yossi has a basic disagreement with the Chachamim on this whole concept of Hachokas Nezakin. We said that, we talked about it in the first sugya of the Perek, that the Chachamim hold al mazik lahachokas asmo. If you have something which you're doing which is a potential hezek to the other guy, you're responsible to get rid of it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi had said al nizik lahachokas asmo. As long as it's not a direct hezek, then no, you have a problem with it. You remove your thing.
The potential nizik,
right. So, lema masnis and deloitre Rabbi Yossi. Should we say that the first part of our Mishnah about keeping a ladder away from a birdhouse so martens don't jump and kill the birds? Should we say that's not like Rabbi Yossi? Later on in the parak, we have Rabbi Yossi arguing and saying, in the case of where one person has a tree and the other person has a burr, that even if the burr was dug first and later on the other guy planted his tree, it's not a problem because the one person is digging his pit in his property, and the other one is planting in his property. In other words, you have a problem with my tree damaging your burr. You have my tree damaging your burr. Move your burr further out. It's not my problem. On the face of it, shouldn't we say the same thing over here? I'm putting up a ladder. Later on, at some point, a Nemiah comes and uses it and uses it to go get the bird. So why is it my problem? You have a problem with it. Move your birdhouse someplace else. Now, Rashi says that actually the question isn't only on our Mishnah. Rashi explains that the question is really on a number of the Mishnayos we had so far. The case of this question that we're asking, should it be said that the Mishnah is not a Kogesi, may apply to a number of the Mishnayos we had so far. Digging a pit near the other guy's pit, right. Putting a bakery under the guy's oitzer, right. Etc., etc. On the other hand, Tosfos says no, there's a difference, because we did say before,
Rashi said that
Rashi doesn't mention the specific cases, but Rashi says, yeah, there can be many things in these Mishnayos that may not be like Rabbi Yossi, but should we say that this is an example of it? Tosfos says no, the reason why we never asked that until now is because all the previous Mishnayos, we can understand that the problem is something which the Gemara is going to say in a second called dire delay or didgay. Meaning, when you're the direct cause of the damage, sure, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that al mazik lahachakas atzmo. So the previous Mishnayos, for example,
right.
you make
mazik is the direct cause.
In a second we'll talk about. There's a few different ways of explaining giri didei, but generically, Rabbi Yossi will agree that if the hezek can be characterized as giri delay, it literally means his arrows, then yes, the Mazik is responsible to remove the potential hezek.
And anything else?
Anything else, not. Now, Tosfos argues that in the previous Mishnayos, for example, you build a pit near the other guy's pit, or you put salt near the other guy's wall, or you build a bakery, you put a bakery under his oitzer or whatever, those are all giri delay. Even Rabbi Yossi would agree that there was a problem. Here's the first time where it seems you have something that's not giri delay. I put the ladder here. A week later, a Nehemiah uses this ladder to go kill the birds. That's not giri delay.
That analysis is according to Tosfos?
That's according to Tosfos. Now, so what does it mean? So the answer is afilu tamei Rav Yossi. You could even say that our Mishnah goes according to Rav Yossi because ha'amar Rav Ashi, because didn't Rav Ashi say ki aven and beir Rav Kahana, when we were in Rav Kahana's yeshiva, Hava Amar used to say modi Rav Yossi begiri didei. He Rav Kahana used to say modi Rav Yossi begiri didei. Rav Yossi agrees where it's your direct arrows, where you're doing where the hezek is a more direct one, that Rav Yossi would agree you're not allowed to do it. In this case over here, Hachinami. So the same thing over here, it can be direct. Zimnin, it can happen. Debahadi, Demanachle, as you're putting the ladder, or while you're even holding the ladder, Yasra Bachur, you have a Nemiah sitting over there in a hole nearby, waiting for the opportunity to pounce, the Kafta. And while you're holding the ladder, it uses the ladder and goes and jumps. So therefore, it's a direct, therefore it's a more direct thing, Giri delay, Giri delay. And therefore, even Rabbi Yossi could agree that that's no good. Now, what is Giri delay? So, Rashi learns that Giri Didei, in order for it to be called Giri Didei, in order for Rabbi Yossi to have a problem with it, would have to mean that it's something that you personally are causing the hezek. Like in this case, you're holding the ladder, and as you're holding it steady, the Nehemiah uses it to jump.
That's not really directly causing a hezek.
Well, that's the Gemara I was going to ask in a second, that it's Groma. But wait, the point is at least that you are directly involved. Yeah. Tosfos discusses that it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It doesn't necessarily have to be that you are directly involved. It has to be that something that you put there is immediately causing a hezek. For example, let's say earlier in the parak, salt or gephas or whatever it is near the other guy's wall. As soon as you put it down there, it starts generating heat, which gradually undermines and then saps the wall.
Well, that would be duty day,
exactly. So Rashi would say that's not duty day because you didn't directly cause the hezek. You put it down there, and then it starts causing damage on its own.
Rashi, you would have to hit the wall, or
yeah, let's say like yeah, or something like that, yeah. And then you have the Ramban's opinion, which goes even further. He says that he says somewhat differently. He says that duty day would be if the thing itself is causing a hezek, even if the hezek doesn't start right away. Let's say, for example, again, the beginning of the parak, when we talked about one pit next to the other, where we said one problem is that water seeps through the ground and eventually it may take time, but it happens from where it is.
The process is
commencing, right. Unlike, for example, and therefore that would be considered duty today. Now, as opposed to, for example, when you plant a tree within 25 amas of a burr, it takes many, many years for the roots to grow to that length. Rabbi Yossi wouldn't call that duty today. Okay, so those are the three different. The halacha is actually like Rabbi Yossi. That Alan Nizek Lahal Kazakhma, yes. Except when Giri Didei, yes. Yeah. Okay. All right, so the question is about Groma. Okay, but still, why is it a problem? Isn't this a case of Groma? And in that case, you should be allowed to put up your ladder because it's an indirect thing that the Nehemiah is going to use the ladder. Well, from that you learn that groma b'nizakin is osir. Now, again, Rashi and Tosfos argue what that means. We've learned before, we learned in Baba Kama, we learned in Baba Metzia, about the concept of groma versus garmi. Rashi holds that they're identical. Therefore, Rashi explains what we mean is, that if we say that you don't hold that dinid garmi is chayiv, we said the mayor holds you are, and the halacha is like him, but even if you say that not, so fine, you potter from Jinnah to Gami. Nevertheless, you're still not allowed to do it. So the other guy can prevent you from doing it.
Again, between Garma and Grama.
So we talked about that, and we talked about a number of different possibilities. That can mean a direct versus an indirect thing. It can mean the result is more certain versus less certain. There were a number of possible distinctions we said. Anyway, Rashi holds that it's just two different names for the same thing. So according to him, what our Gemara means is, it's true, maybe there's the opinion of the Chachamim against Reb Meir that Dinu Degami is potter. However, that still doesn't mean that they would say you're allowed to do it. You still, the other guy can prevent you from doing it. If you did it and a hezek was caused, they will say you're potter, whereas Reb Meir would say you're chayav. Tosfos argues with that. Tosfos holds that Garmi and Groma are different, and so do most of the other Rishonim. So therefore, they understand it to mean, even fine, we say that Dina de Garmi you chayev, however, Groma, everybody agrees you're potter. Again, potter doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. Same idea. You shouldn't be doing it in the first place, but if you did, then yes, it can be characterized as Groma, and you're potter with Dina
de Garmi. Groma.
Groma is right over here, for example. We're arguing, when you put down the ladder, even if while you're holding it, the Nemiya uses it to jump, it's only an indirect thing. You made it possible for the Nemiya to jump. You didn't actually. That would be Groma.
Right.
Garmi would be, we had examples of Garmi in Bava Metzia. We had an example over there, for example, where you, what was the case, I think, where you burnt somebody's shtar is an example of Dina de Garmi.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, Groma ben Izakin is also. Here's another case. Here's a case. Rabbi Yosef Havalei Hanhutali. Rabbi Yosef had these palm trees, little palm trees, it actually says, to have also umni viyaski tutayu. Now, blood letters would come and sit under the palm trees. Now, Tosfos explains that we're not talking about they weren't sitting on Rabbi Yosef's property. They're sitting in the shade of his trees, but they're sitting in their own property. Some of the other Rishonim learned that actually they were sitting in Rosh Hashanah. Either way, it was under the shade or near his trees. But also, urvi achli dama. Now, ravens would come and eat the blood that these blood letters are leaving all over the ground. The salki abetali, and then these birds would fly up onto the trees, or mafsidi tamri, and they're damaging the fruit.
Just by going on the trees.
Well, not just by going there. Tosfos says actually they would smear blood all over the fruit. They picked up the blood in their beaks and they're going over there and munching on the fruit and then getting it all dirty. Amalahu Rabbi Yosef hapikuli kurkur mehacha. So Rabbi Yosef says to them, get this kurkur out of here. Kurkur means the raven, because that's the kind of noise they make. Kurkur. So get this out of here. In other words, these guys have no right to continue doing their bloodletting over here. Amalai Abaye v'ha groma. Abaye says, why? Isn't it a case of groma? Amalai hachi amar of tshuvi b'masna, zay semeres groma b'nizakin also. We just said, you're not allowed to do groma b'nizakin. Fine. If a hezek was caused, maybe I don't have the ability to charge them for it, but I have the ability to prevent them from causing that nezek in the first place. There are, by the way, Rabbeinu Yonah has an explanation over here that it wasn't just the ravens are coming on their own and then going. These blood letters, while they're doing their job, and the ravens would be coming around them, they'd wave them away, and therefore they'd be going and flying to the palm trees. Therefore, it's more of a direct. Therefore, it's more of a direct thing. It can be considered giri delay, because they're actually causing them to get out of their area and fly onto his palm trees. Yeah. Question is, okay, but don't we have another issue, though? Didn't they already make a chazakah to be doing this? These guys already have a chazakah to be sitting there and doing
before
their blood.
The palm trees?
Not necessarily before he planted the palm trees, but whatever.
Before
he complained. Now, we've learned before, and Tosfos again discusses it over here, are we saying that it's like a chazaka of karka, which we'll learn in the next parak that you need 3 years for, or maybe not, maybe even less than 3 years, that Amman, for example, holds up that you don't even need 3 years, all you need is that the other guy was moicha. And also, Tosfos discusses, and many other Rishonim discuss against them, the question, is there any way for the other guy to have a valid claim to say, you were moichala to me? In other words, for example, let's say these blood letters were to bring Edim, that they actually made a kinyan with Rabbi Yosef, that he allowed them to do it, and do they have the ability to say, well, tough luck, you're going to have to deal with it. Tosfos says that no. Even if they made a kinyan, Rabbi Yosef can always say, I thought I could handle it, but I can't handle it anymore.
And therefore they haven't
made it. And therefore there's no such thing as a chazaka for it. The Rambam and some other Rishonim hold not like that. They say that if there was an actual kinyan, once there was a kinyan, then that's that. So they...
Who said that?
The Rambam said that. Yeah. Okay. So in this case, they made a chazaka, whether it's 3 years, whether it's just that he wasn't moicha, whatever it is. The answer is ha'omer of Nachman, omer Rav Bavua, ain't chazaka v'nezakin. You should know. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Bavua, there is no such thing as chazaka for nezakin. Therefore, when there's a hezek, then he has the ability to remove it. Okay, the question is, v'lav itmar Allah. Wait, v'lav itmar Allah, but wasn't it said that there's a detail about that? Rav Mori Omer B'Kutzer of Rav Zvid Omer B'Vetekise, that Rav Mori and Rav Zvid says it only applies to certain specific kinds of hezek. Rav Mori says it applies to Kutzer means smoke. It means smoke. And Tosfos says not just any smoke. Tosfos says like the smoke of a kiln or something, like in this week's parasha, the Vahavitina, Vayal Ashonik Eshen Akivshen, it's a tremendous amount of smoke. So So that's something where a person has the ability to say, that's too much, I can't handle that. Or, and Rav Zvid says, that it's talking about an outhouse, which specifically Tosfos says we're talking about the kind that's uncovered, so therefore it really stinks. Those are the kinds of nezekin that we're saying there can be no chazaka for, because the person always has the ability to eventually say, you know what, I thought I could handle it, but I can't continue handling this. This case of the birds and the palm trees, v'chora, doesn't rise to that level.
Can you, by extension, could you say chemicals, you know, harsh chemicals, chlorine or things like that?
Maybe. Well, Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, Hani, you should know this case over here with the birds smearing blood on the fruit or whatever. For me, Danina Datoi, where I'm a very sensitive person, which we find in other Gemaras, that Rabbi Yosef was an istinist. He was a very sensitive, finicky kind of person. So to me, Kikutsuro Besakitsa, Domoli, this kind of hezek is the equivalent of smoke or the smell of a Besakitsa. It's something I can't be expected to tolerate in my condition, and therefore I have the right to get them out of here, even if they were to claim they have a chazaka for it. So that, you're asking about chemicals, so more generally, the post can bring, based on this. If you know that somebody is sensitive to a particular thing, then yes, it would be considered like kutzer obeis hakisa. Somebody else does not have the ability to create a chazaka on having such a neg.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mishnah says, Machikinas ha-shoivach min ha-ir chamishim amba. You have to keep away, talking more about birdhouses, if you have a birdhouse, and birdhouses, by the way, which are these shoivachos that we're talking about in the Gemara over here, it's not necessarily, you didn't have necessarily domesticated birds in there, per se. You have, they're kind of like for feral birds. We've learned about it in Bava Kamma, yeah. In fact, some of the Gemara that we have here we had in Bava Kamma as well. They're kind of feral birds. They go hither and yon. They go wherever they go. And you have, in various places, you have birdhouses where they can use to nest for a while, and then, yeah. Yeah.
Would you apply that to bees, to bees?
Bees is a whole different thing. We're going to learn later on in the sixth paragraph, we're going to learn some dinim about bees. Okay. So, you have to keep away a birdhouse from... So he makes the birdhouse in order that... Because that way the birds will come and nest there. That way, for example, if he... To catch them, yeah, to eat them or whatever. Yeah, that's this way, for example. Yeah, you find them in Mishnayis Beitza, for example, that you go to a shoivach to take birds to shech for Yom Tov. Yeah. So, you have to keep your birdhouse away from the city 50 amas. Rashi says the reason is because the birds otherwise are going to go and eat the seeds that people plant in their gardens in the city. Tosfos says that's not the issue, because for one thing, the fields or whatever are further away from the city. Tosfos says no, rather the reason is because people put their grain out on their roofs to dry during the summer, and then the birds will come and eat them. So you have to keep it away 50 amas. And v'lo yasa adam shovach b'ser shaloi. And furthermore, even if a person is making a shovach on his own property, he's not allowed to do that. Elim ken yesh lechamishim ama l'chol ruach, unless there's 50 amas of clear space on every side for the same reason, so the birds don't go and eat other people's crops or seeds or whatever. Rabbi Yehuda im beis abbas koren. Rabbi Yehuda says you need a much larger amount. You need the space of four koren. A base core is the area where you can plant a core of grain. It's about 270 amas by 270, 75,000 square amas, 270 by 270 roughly, 400 feet by 400 feet, give or take. So you need four of those. I'm not sure, actually. I don't know. In the Art School Gemara, they understood it to mean that you have one on each side, like as if, you know, you have the shovach in the middle and you have one such space on each side. From Rabbi Hananel, it seems that maybe you're talking about four on each side, which would be a much larger figure. Whatever it is, the reason for that is Maloy Sheger Hayona, because you need enough space for the full amount that a dove will fly at one time. In other words, you can have a dove will fly from one place to another and then eat for a while and then continue flying further. We'll talk about that in the Gemara.
Dove flying, but 20 feet, maybe?
No, but so we're talking about, like, once it gets going, it can go, it'll go and fly for, yeah, pigeon, whatever. Yeah, it'll
pigeon or dove?
Same thing. It's two different names for the same bird.
It doesn't fly very far.
Because you see them here on the street, because within a few feet they find some food and they stop for it. But but when they're out in the wild, they can fly. They can fly a couple of base core, a few hundred feet at a time. The Ramban has a different explanation of Sheger Hayona. He says it means a flock of doves. That's the amount of distance. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a flock of doves would go all at once, and therefore they could damage other people's crops. After that, they kind of separate out. Ah. But what happens if you bought a shovach? And I feel a base roof. Right? Even if all the area around it is only a base roof, right, which is an area only about 10 by 10 amas, on the face of it, that shouldn't have happened. Nevertheless, you're allowed to keep that chazaka. The first person had a chazaka to do that. Evidently, either he bought permission from the other people, whatever it is exactly, but fine, once that's done, then the second guy can continue with that and have a valid argument that it was this way before, so therefore I'm not obligated to. Why are you telling me that a shovach only has to be 50 amos away from other people's from other people's gardens? Or to mini, I have a contradiction. We learned in Bava Kamma, in a mission in Bava Kamma, in posted nishbin layonim, you're not allowed to set out traps, nets for doves, for pigeons, unless it's at least 30 ris, which is 4 mil, away from the yishuv, away from a settlement. So four mil, not just 50 amos.
A mil is
2,000 amos.
2,000
amos. Four mil is 8,000 amos. 8,000 amos in feet. It's about 12,000 feet, a couple of miles. So what kind of 50 amos of our Mishnah? The answer is Omer Abaya, Meshet Shaiti Turba. Sure, doves can fly pretty far. But the Karsayu Bachamshim Amsamalia, however, they will fill up their stomachs in the first 50 amos. Meaning they're only going to go looking around for food within the first 50 amos. By the time they reach 50 amos away, they'll have already been able to eat their fill. More than that, they'll continue flying, they'll continue circling around or whatever, but they're not going to eat anymore. Therefore, once you're 50 amos away from the other people's field, then you're good. They're going to fly a few more mil after that. That's not going to cause anybody any damage. Question is, Umeshat Shloshim Ris for too long. Okay, but you're telling me then that doves only fly 30 ris, 4 mil, no more. Vahatanya, but we learn in a price, also there in Bava Kamma, over Yishuv, that if it's in a settled area, after the Maya Mil La Yifris, then you're not even allowed to spread out nets for the doves, even if it's 100 mil from the.
See, they can fly 100 mil?
Yeah. The answer is, Rabbi Yosef Amar B'Yishuv Kromim, Rabbi Yosef says when we say a settlement, we don't mean like a settlement that's like a city or whatever. We mean an area where there's vineyards, where there's one vineyard after another. Okay. So therefore, what will happen is the doves will fly from one vineyard to the next one. They'll relax there a while, they'll eat, whatever, and then they'll take off again and go to the next vineyard and so on and so forth. So then, yeah, by vineyard hopping like that, they can end up going 100 mil. But we're not talking all at once. But if there's no vineyards in between, there's no solid block of vineyards over there. Then four mil, 30 ris is going to be the maximum they're going to go. Rava Amar B'Yishuv Shochin. Rava says a different answer. We could be talking about where it's an area where there's a bunch of birdhouses like that. So therefore, same idea. Then the birds can fly from one to the next, and eventually they can cover even 100 mil. So therefore, you're not allowed to put out nets because you may end up trapping somebody else's doves. But other than that, 4 mil is the max. Question is,
so you have to know that 4 mils away there's someone
who has a birdhouse. Let's say yeah. Hey, the question is, Yishuv Shochen means like whether there's a solid block of them, like there's one shovach fairly close to the next one, and so forth. Yeah. Question is, according to Rava, that we're saying that once there's shovchim over there, then we're saying because the birds can go from one to another. But typically, Mishum Shovchim Guhayo. What are you telling me? You can't put your nets out because you may end up because somebody else's birds from 100 mil away may fly there. What about? Don't you have to be worried? Never mind that. The birds that live in the local Shovchim may get caught in those.
Right.
The answer is both same today. One answer you could say is, let's say those Shovchim in the middle belong to you. So fine, from the point of view of trapping other people's birds that are nearby, it's not a problem. Any birds that wind up in your Shovchim are considered yours. And therefore, fine, if you want to put out nets to track some of them, because they hate. But the problem is, because those shochim can also be used as way stations by birds that come from further away, therefore you can't put out your nets over there. Because they may not actually nest in your shochim, they may just stop off there for a while, to eat some of the food over there, say hello to their friends, and then fly on, and then they're going to get trapped in your nets, and they're not yours.
Well, if they're in your shoes, they're not considered yours.
No, because they belong to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a second possibility is, let's say the birdhouses nearby belong to Goyim. which, okay, we learned in Bava Kamma the whole question about Gezel HaGoy, whether it's Mutter or Osir,
right.
But one thing is, Rishonim point out over here, is that even the Goyim themselves don't really consider this Gezel, because the fact is, these are feral birds. They kind of come and go as they please. So even the Goyim don't really consider them fully theirs, and therefore, if you were to catch them, it wouldn't be considered that you'd be stealing from the Goy, per se, but nevertheless, you still have the problem that, again, those Shoichim can be used as way stations by birds from other Jews who come through that area and then stop off in these shofkim and then fly on and get caught in your nets.
And that would be
a problem. That would be Gezel against another Jew, yeah. The Boisema de Hefker, or third possibility, let's say those shofkim in the middle are Hefker. Same idea. All right, then we said Rabbi Yehuda Omer Beis Habas Kur in Chola. We said Rabbi Yehuda had said that you need four kur around the, or you have a space of four kur around the birdhouses, because basically what it comes down to, by the way, we said before Abaye explained that the Chachamim would also agree that the birds do fly that far. They do fly Beis Habas Kurin. The thing is, they only eat within the first 1600 amos, whatever, but they only eat within the first 50 amos, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that concept, and he would say they might end up eating further as well, and therefore you need a larger distance. And then the Mishnah had continued. The last part of the Mishnah said that if you bought an existing shovach and there was only a small space around it, nevertheless, you're allowed to continue it that way, because you have that chazak. Omer a papa, v'itemer of zvid, so the papa, or some say of zvid, said, zois emeres toinen l'lekeach, toinen l'yodish. You can see from this Mishnah, then, that the Beis Din will argue on behalf of a lekeach, on behalf of somebody who bought something, and also on behalf of a yodish. So let's say, for example, you know, we're going to learn in the next parak all about the dinim of chazaka. So we're going to have examples over there. Let's say, normally the rule is, chazaka usually has to have a taina with it, which means, if I've been living in a field or a house or whatever for 3 years, and you come and say, this place is mine, if I'm just saying, well, okay, I found it empty, I figured nobody's living here, so I started living in it, that's not considered a valid chazaka. It would have to be with a taina. I bought it, or I inherited it, or whatever, and because 3 years have passed, I lost my shtar. You can't expect me to hold on to my shtar forever.
Just coming and saying it's mine.
Just coming and, right. However, when it comes to a yodish or when it comes to a lekeach, you do not need that. For example, so let's say the point is that if a person says, for example, Rashi spells out the case like this, which again we'll learn the exact case in the next parak. But let's say a person has edim that this place belonged to his father, to his ancestors.
That's a real.
Now he says I inherited it from my father. Now, what about, for example, the other guy could counterclaim. Okay, but your father sold it at some point. Nevertheless, though, we don't require the yodish to bring a taina. We will argue on his behalf, given that he has evidence that this belonged to his father, and he's claiming that he yoshined it. That's good enough for us.
Yeah.
So that's turning the yodish. You would think that maybe not. You would think maybe he needs some kind of proof. And the same thing for a lekeach. So we see that from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is saying you bought a shoiva, it has only a base roiva around it. We're saying we allow you to keep it as is. Why? Because even if the person himself is not going to be able to make any valid claim in Beis Din, l'chora you need 50 amos around it, Beis Din themselves will be responsible for pointing out, okay, but the fact is he bought it that way. Obviously the other guy must have worked it out with the previous owners over here, and therefore he has a chazaka for that, yeah. Question is Yodish Tanena. What do we need? Rapapa or Rabbi Zvid to be telling us that based on our Mishnah? We learn clearly in the next parak. Habo Mishum Yerusha Ein Tzarach Taina. If somebody is coming with a claim of inheritance, you don't need then he doesn't need a taina. The answer is Lekeach. It's a Mishnah later on in the next parak. Yeah. The answer is Lekeach. Yes, but the Chiddush that Rapapa or Rabbi Zvid is telling us is about the case of a Lekeach.
You would know.
He mentioned both, but he meant primarily.
Why did he mention both?
Because once you're mentioning Lekeach, then you're mostly mentioning Yerush. But his primary Chiddush is about the Lekeach. Okay, the question
and
is
Lekeach, we don't have anything.
Because Lekeach Nami Taneina. A Lekeach also, we have a Mishnah in the next parak that talks about that. Namely like this. The Mishnah describes over there, towards the end of the next parak, that you're not allowed to have ledges or porches or whatever stick out from your house into Rishus Rabim, because it'll interfere with foot traffic or whatever. However, So now, how does a person do it? Let's say he does want a ledge or a porch or whatever. There's two possibilities. Either he moves back the wall of his house a couple of feet and then makes a ledge or the porch or whatever.
So it's still needs.
Or that's so it's still all and on and it has property line, right? Or the other possibility is that he works it out together with the rabbin. Let's say, for example, some of the rishonim say maybe, for example, he can talk to the shiva tuveh, he can talk to the city council or whatever, and get permission from them to do it, pay him off or whatever it is. So the Mishnah says, if somebody bought a chotzer which has ledges or porches sticking out of it over the rishos rabbin, it retains its chazakah. He's allowed to keep them over there. We don't say that it was done illegally and therefore. Exuberance means fortune. Yeah. So we see that Torah in the Lekeach. It's the same idea. If the case comes to Beis Din, Beis Din will say, well, he bought it already made like that. We can assume the Beis Din of previous time, the earlier Beis Din gave him permission. So either what happened was he did make it in his property, but now nobody's clear where the property line is anymore. Let's say the B'nai Rosh Hashanah Adam started using this extra area under the porch, but nevertheless it does belong to him. Or that he talked it over with the Torah here or whatever. So we see that Torah in the Lekeach.
Right.
The answer is,
so
we have a Mishnah. What do we need to pop over of Zrid to be telling us that?
Same thing.
Yeah. The answer is Tzricha. Nevertheless, we need them to be telling. Yashmin and Hossam, Gabi Rishos Rabim, because if we were only told about that case and that Mishnah in the next Perek when it comes to overhanging Rishos Rabim, look, De'emo Konos L'Sechalohu. Fine, you have a reasonable reason to say, why is it that now you have these porches or ledges hanging over what appears to be Rishos Rabim? It must be that it wasn't Rishos Rabim. It must be it was his real property line. And just by now, the property line has been forgotten. Or you could say again, the people of Rishus Rabim, the people of the town, were moichel to him and made and allowed him to do it.
And therefore we have a chazak.
Aval ha'chaloi, but over here, what kind of excuse l'chora would there be that he has the shrevach without enough space around it? So you would think that not. Nevertheless, they're saying that we see from our Mishnah that you do. And the Yeshmin and Hacha. On the other hand, if we only knew the situation over here, you would say, Kivin de Yachin, who aim a piyos de Kaisen, or over here by the Shoiva. You would say, fine, well, the other, who has a problem with it over here is individual. The individual people who have fields nearby are going to have a problem with it. Fine. Individual people, it's easy enough to work out a deal with. To say that I want to build the shoivach even though there's not enough space around it, and I'll pay you off so that if they end up eating any of your crops or whatever, then we'll work it out. Inam yachulei achugabe, or you could just say the other people were meichel in the first place. Aval rabim, but when it comes to Rishos Rabim, you would think man pious or man shavik. Who would have been authorized to take money from him to allow this, or to be moichel to him? The fact of the matter is, it belongs to all the people of the town, not necessarily the Tuveh Eir have that right, especially because the town is not just the people who live
that
locally.
We wouldn't have known.
Therefore, tzricha, and that is why we need both cases. In both cases, though, we still do say turn in the yerd, turn in the lekeah. That if a person bought something that's not. According to the usual code, according to the usual zoning laws or whatever. However, Beis Din will still stick up for him and argue that he had a valid reason for it. Okay. Then we said Harei Rebbe
Chaskal. That's the case of the Shevach.
That's the case of the Shevach and the case of the ledgers and porches.
And the ledgers and porches, right.
Okay, then
why
we said,
is that? I mean, there's no Rishus Rabim.
But that's the thing, because we're saying that nevertheless, it is possible. He may have done it further into his property, and just, you know, originally his property line was here. He moved his wall back a couple of feet in order to make his porch.
And that was accepted.
That was fine. Well, nobody has to accept that. He's allowed to do that. It's still on his property. As time passed, people forgot that his original property line was here. They thought it's here by the wall of his house. So now it looks like the porch is hanging over Rishus Rabim, when really it's not. It's in his property all the time. We give him credit for that. Or we say that maybe he worked it out with the Torah here or whatever. Then we said,
they have to come and prove it.
So they would have to come and prove that not right. The Beis Din will argue on their behalf, right? Then we say, Harei Rebbe Chaskotze. We say that in that case, the Shoivach is allowed to retain its Chazakah. The question is, well, Amr of Nachman, Amr Rav Bavu, ain't Chazakah the Nezakin. Didn't we say at the top of the Amr that you can't establish a Chazakah for Nezakin? In this case, the birds are going to come eat the seeds. That's going to be an ongoing Nezak. The answer is, like we said before, Rav Mori Amr Bakutra, Rav Zvid Amr Bezakise, that only certain kinds of Nezakin, only the kinds that are completely, that a person can't handle for any length of time, are the ones that you can't create a Chazakah for.
Kutra and
Bezakise, or anything similar to that. And by the way, one logical reason behind it that Mephoshim say is because even the guy wasn't, even according to the Rambam, who says that usually you can establish a chazaka just because the other guy wasn't moicha, you don't need 3 years, like Tosfos is saying. Nevertheless, though, the other guy can argue, according to the Rambam, as long as you did it even once and the other guy didn't object, then that's considered a valid chazaka forever. But however, the thing is, Meforshim explained that in the case of smoke and a bit of kise and other such similar things, the one who's suffering from the nezek can argue, I didn't do the machal right away because I figured there's no reason to. I figured it's common sense that I'm not going to be able to stand this for any length of time. So I didn't need to do the machal the moment you put it up because it was fairly obvious that I'm not going to be able to hack it for any length of time and then I'm soon going to be mosa. I mean, accept that. Again, according to Tosfos, even if the other guy made a kinyan with him that he's entitled to do it, it's not enough to allow him to do it permanently. And according to the Rambam, though, if he made a kinyan, then yeah, a kinyan is a kinyan. Yeah. We'll leave the Mishnah and the Gemara for tomorrow.
Some, and then study it tomorrow?
There's not really time. Obviously, this is